Do you see the deals on these brands? Of course you can't. This is a podcast. But when you go to Ross this spring, you'll see brands you know at prices you love. We're talking all the shoes, hues, and oohs at 20 to 60% off department store prices. Go see the savings at Ross.
Hey guys, it's your lady gang, Jack Vanek, Kelty Knight, and Becca Tobin. Thank you so much for subscribing on iTunes, and thanks for supporting the great sponsors who make it possible for us to have this much fun with you every single week for free.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, 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 Hollywood's hottest girl posse. I am the Gigi. Across from me is Bella.
And I don't want to be Bella. I want to be Kendall.
Okay, you can be Kendall and you can be Bella.
I don't want to be Bella.
Why? Bella is beautiful.
I don't know. Is
she? Really? I think she's pretty. I mean, she bought her face and it was a good purchase.
I would like to buy a new face.
I wouldn't be upset. Me too. Girl, call me. Okay, I'm Becca Tobin, actress, Bella Hadid enthusiast, and blogger at theladygang.com. Across from me, Kelty Knight.
And I love my sister Kylie.
Oh my god, you're so
weird.
You're
an idiot.
She likes to role play, and she is an entertainment journalist. She's on every red carpet. She interviews George Clooney and Julia Roberts and all those cool people. To my right, Jack Vanek, clothing designer of jackvanek.com.
Hey.
And she used to be a MySpace it girl.
Yes, I still am a MySpace it girl.
Is there MySpace?
No.
No.
Remember, she told the story about how all her photos got taken down.
Oh, so
but they
sad.
Rebooted it, and then it went away again.
Yeah.
My fun fact for this week
is
that I was a competitive gymnast.
What?
Mm-hmm. Did you not know this?
Can you can you do the tumbles?
I can still do back handsprings.
Really?
What?
Well, yeah. That's because you're small.
No, it's because I'm gifted.
Becca can do back handsprings.
It's because I am gifted and I'm an athlete.
Wow.
Yeah. I did competitive gymnastics and I got medals. I wore a long sleeve bedazzled leotard.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did.
Did you know that's what anything? Stunted your growth?
No, it didn't.
100%. Probably. All the gymnasts are short.
Or the fact that everyone in my family is short. They didn't do gymnastics.
I think it might be that.
I don't think it stunts your growth unless you're like an Olympian.
It stunts your booby growth.
Yeah, your boobies don't grow.
Okay. Well, I think there's like...
That might also be
a million... I there's so much evidence against your theory. I think their growth is stunted and their boobies are stunted because when they're in those years of that we're all normally going through puberty, they're working out so hard and they're like building up all this muscle and not eating enough.
Do they delay their periods because of that?
Yeah. Like none of the girls I did gymnastics with got their periods until.
So there's not enough fat on you.
Yeah. No body fat. I mean, I'm similar now. Okay. What is your fun fact?
My fun fact is my first crush in life was the Green Power Ranger.
You've used that before.
You're running out of fun facts about yourself.
Because I never write them down.
I guess you're not fun.
I'm not fun.
That's her fun fact, that she's not fun.
Okay.
Kelty, what's yours?
Very boring.
My fun fact is that... Oh, God, am I fun? No. I got this. I live two houses down from a skating rink. And when I was in
roller skating,
ice skating.
Right now,
no, like when I was a kid.
Oh, so
and when
know.
I was in grade 5, I went on a skate date.
A skate date?
That's
ice skating?
A fun fact.
With Darren from my jazz class.
Okay,
like jazz dancing.
Yeah,
is Darren a homosexual?
I don't know what Darren does now.
Kelty likes dancing,
but he had
guys.
A white Club Monaco T-shirt that he wore in jazz class and on our skate date, and I thought it was pretty hot.
Did you check the label or did it say Club Monaco across?
I'm sure
it said Club Monaco across.
Wow, Darren.
It's
hey,
pretty cool.
I bet Darren dates boys.
Anyway, that's all I got.
I like skate dates. Okay, it's time for...
Good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
I'm going to start.
Yep.
Do it. Yep. Okay. Bad week. Very simple. I get bikini waxes. I don't look forward to them. They're not fun. And it's taken me years and years and years to find, like, the place that's convenient as well as the wax that's good and the waxer that you vibe with.
Mm-hmm.
My waxer left.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What do you do now?
Get lasered.
I'm so angry. I am so upset. She didn't leave a note. She didn't call.
Wait, she didn't tell you she was going.
She didn't even
tell
me.
Did you ask where they went?
No.
Where she went.
Did she give up waxing? Did your vagina make her quit her job forever?
Maybe, maybe.
She might have moved to a nearby place so you could go see her again.
It's so upsetting.
I'm surprised she didn't have like a foreword. Like,
I know.
Also find me at.
One time, like, I felt like we were so close that she even, like, I guess every month they get a free wax that they can give away. She hooked me up with the free wax.
That's nice.
She's like, I'm going to let you use my free wax this month. Like, we were friends. She's gone.
Apparently not.
You got to find a new waxer.
It's upsetting.
That is upsetting.
It is awkward, like, when someone sees your vag for the first time. Like, it's nice to...
I just liked she was fast. She was easy. Like, she had a... I like when people talk to me during a wax.
I was going
to
say, do you guys chat?
I need to be distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes I just... Okay. So, that was my bad week. It's pretty bad. My good week is that... I have one of the many benefits of being married. Do you want to hear about it?
Lower taxes.
Nope.
Oh.
Bomb-ass health insurance.
Yeah! Wait, are you on Zach's health insurance?
I am officially an adult because I got seriously psyched to find out because we compared because through the Screen Actors Guild, I can also get a pretty good insurance.
Yeah, expensive. Sure.
It's like for me,
so
it's not bad.
Okay.
For me, it's not bad. And then, it's good, and like the coverage is good, whatever. But my husband works in the medical field, and it is bomb. Like I'm pretty sure I could get a nose job covered.
No, my husband's health insurance covers if you want to transition from woman to man.
That's the whole thing?
Incredible.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah. Wow. Covers any of that. And it also covers IVF.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, that's amazing.
I need to check on the IVF. That should be something. That angers me that it's not covered across the board.
Don't even get me freaking started.
Okay. All right. That was mine. How wasn't that nice and brief?
It was brief. I'm brief.
Okay.
I'll go. So for my good week, I'm just going to shout out our Facebook group because it is the shit and we have almost,
I love them,
8,000 members and we have so many like off groups.
Yeah.
From
it's crazy.
Facebook.
Yeah. Like Lady Gang Mommies and Lady Gang Weddings
and Fitness.
Yeah.
And there's a politics group
and the Bachelor group.
Barf.
What? I'm not in the Bachelor group.
Are you? Oh my God. It's
the add me guys.
There's like workout groups. There's all these different groups, but my favorite group
is
a secret spy group that a couple of the girls from the Lady Gang started, and all they do is, number one, they're petty as hell and it's amazing, and they just like take like different drama that's happening from all these different groups and just analyze it and talk shit, and it's amazing.
Oh my gosh.
And you sounds guys, right up our alley.
It's amazing. When you said spy, I thought it's the type of thing where if someone has like a private Instagram account and you're like, I would need to see them, I need to follow them.
Oh, they would do, they'd be the person to like follow.
Yeah, okay, so they can like go and like do some recon.
Yeah, because there's been like a couple instances in our Facebook group where like shit's gone awry.
Yeah.
And these girls have like gone
in and
investigated. There's like 20 girls.
Oh my God.
And so I'm in it and I never post anything, but I'll like different comments so they know that I'm lurking.
Oh.
I love the Lady Gang group.
I know.
I love us
it, like,
so much.
It brightens my life when I go on the Facebook.
Everyone's amazing.
Everyone's amazing. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what you do is you go to Facebook and then you search the Lady Gang, Lady Gang all one word, and then it'll come up group and it'll say closed group. And then you click on closed group and then we will admit you.
And unfortunately, I know we have guy listeners and we love our guy listeners, but I'm sorry. It's a place for women. We talk about vaginas and sex.
Yeah.
And
we had to kick out some guys.
We're sorry.
All the guys? There are some guys in there.
To be more specific, if you're a heterosexual male,
you're out.
Yeah. And we're really sorry that we're discriminating. We're probably going to get a lawsuit against us. And like, I'm very sorry.
We're being sexist.
We are. Yeah. But we're talking about like personal, you know, issues that girls don't want to like, you know, they don't feel comfortable, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. So.
But it's the best group ever.
So
you're not in it. Bye.
Bye.
So my bad week is... I never realized how much I love TSA PreCheck.
Oh, it's amazing.
Until it just doesn't show up on my boarding pass one day.
Oh, it's the end of the world.
That's my biggest fear.
So the other day, I was flying, and I was, like, running late, and I'm, like, running through, trying to go through security, and I, like, go through the PreCheck line, and the lady's like, nope, go through the regular line.
No.
So I'm like, oh, God. And I'm like, to go back and, like, get it. There's, like, so many people on the line, and I was also flying Southwest, which is, like, a nightmare.
Bleak.
So I'm like waiting through the line the normal commoner's line at LAX, which is a nightmare. Mm-hmm. People, like, aren't even in line. They're, like, mm-mm, sitting on the ground. Their shoes are, mm-mm, off. Like, it's gross.
It's like Skid Row.
It really is. People have tents. So I'm, like, going through, and the lady in front of me is going so damn slow.
I can't.
So slow.
It's making me angry.
And I'm like, oh my God, come on, lady. Like, I'm late, whatever. And then she goes, like, put her bag through and sort of, like, leans over and then turns to me and then throws up.
What?
On the ground at my feet.
No.
And it touched my toes.
No.
That's why you should not be flying with an open-toed shoe.
Just on the offshoot chance that somebody throws up
100%.
On your feet.
You need full feet coverage.
You do. I actually have a rule. First of all, I don't want to, like, that's disgusting. But, like, I do have a rule. I don't want to see your toes or your armpits at an airport on an airplane.
There's not wear a tank top.
No, I don't want to see your toes.
There's also that Curb episode where, like, Larry flies with a guy and he's wearing shorts. Yes. And he's like, I don't want to look at your legs.
I wore shorts once and it was a major mistake.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. You stick to the seat that's sticky and you don't know what's sticky from. Is it poop?
And, like, we've all left a snail trail on a seat before.
So have we all?
Yes. And they don't really clean those seats.
No.
I clean mine.
You can only imagine how much discharge is on your thighs.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, it was so, yeah. Ugh.
First of all, I'm going to start with my good week. So I was having a conversation with my mother, who, if you can imagine, is a lot like me as a mom. And we had, like, a 45-minute conversation about why rules are important and why they cannot be broken ever. And it was, like, pretty much the highlight of my year. Because I always felt like, where did I get this weird need for rules? And why am I so crazy? And then when
Canadians love rules.
When I talked to her, I was like, oh, my God, we're the same. And you're right. Like, when there's a stop sign, you should stop. And, like, when it's your turn, your boarding group, you should board. And, like,
I agree with that one.
Don't steal things. And, like, it made me so happy. So thanks, Mom. Even though I told you as a rule, do not listen to this podcast. So if you're listening to this, then you have broken a rule.
This is the first time you've realized you're like your mom.
No, I knew I was like my mom in a lot of ways. But, like,
that was
just having, like, someone pat me on the back and be like, you've been right all along. Rules are important. It felt defining.
Okay.
Here's my bad week. So my husband, Chris, gets a Facebook or Instagram message. I can't remember what because I was so shocked. From an old girlfriend. And I have now been reminded that you dated people before me, which is already revolting. And she has cross-sectioned a photo of me and her and sent it to him and said, oh my God, you really must have a type. Are we the same or what? And this girl was a hideous beast.
Can I see the pic?
No, I didn't save it.
Oh.
I threw up on your toes.
What's her name?
I have no idea. I don't want to know, and I don't care. And
did
also,
he tell you, or did you find
it? No, he showed it to me. He was like, look at this. And I was like, what?
She's also a psycho.
Who the hell does
but
that?
But I guess he does have something in common.
Because you would totally do that.
I would not do that.
You made me
do that. I bet you put a picture of Jack and yourself together and sent it to Voldemort.
I bet you did.
And
never.
Oh, and my
not
God.
The same.
That's crazy.
I think it's
is
really
she
creepy.
Like your age?
Here's the thing. Chris was like a 7, and then I fixed him up to a 10, and now all those bitches want back at him because he's successful and he dresses well and he's a nice guy and they see him like...
And he's tall.
He's tall and he's sexy and he's a total catch. Mm-hmm. But when I met him, he was like a little bit of a band nerd. And like I have fixed him up into the stud muffin he is, and now all these ladies are coming out of the woodwork like, ooh, I see them on Instant. Really missed out. Yeah, you did. And he's mine. So get the hell away from ma.
Ooh.
Zing.
Okay, guys, guess what? The lady box is officially
sold out.
Yeah, we said it was going to happen and then it did. So hopefully you got your cute little manicured nails on one and they are now in the mail on their way to you. Make sure that when you open your lady boxes, take pictures wearing your hair towel and your mask and all that stuff. Tag us at the Lady Gang using hashtag ladybox so we can repost your beautiful pictures. And we want to give a quick thanks to the
our
awesome
sponsors.
Brands.
Okay. First of all, the most important,
Jack Vanek.
Oh my God.
Thank you for your adorable wine glass.
You're welcome.
We have a Lady Gang exclusive product, so thank you to us. Elf Cosmetics, and they gave us this amazing bubble mask that makes you look like you just got so many injections in your face, but you didn't. Nude lip oil, which I put on every 5 seconds. Babyfoot, my personal favorite. I have the softest feet in the whole world right now. Muesli, which is where you can get all of your beauty needs. They gave us this beautiful under eye mask. Knock Knock, our gratitude journal. Amazing. Amika, which is dry shampoo and the dry conditioner spray. I know you guys are going to be stocking up on that after you run out of yours because you probably already used it all because it's great.
It's the best.
Kopari, one of our longtime friends, Kopari, they gave us the sheer coconut oil. It is the bomb. Put it everywhere. Put it inside of you. Whatever you want.
Congratulate. Don't put it inside you. Congratulations on getting your lady box, and we are cooking up something great for holiday.
What's coming, Kelty?
Coming up, we have a very funny guest who's going to talk about weddings.
I'm so excited.
You're listening to The Lady Gang.
Welcome back. Our guest today, Jamie Lee, is one of the hottest female comedians in America. She was a semifinalist on Last Comic Standing, and she's a regular on Girl Code. She's done stand-up sets on Conan, John Oliver's New York stand-up show, and The Pete Holmes Show. Now she's set to host her own show on True TV called 10 Things, and she has a brand new book, which I read, that is hilarious, called Wedlicious. Oh, I mean, I read it, but I was like, I don't know how to say this word.
It looks like Wedlicious.
Wedlicious, and it looks at the insanity, which is wedding planning. So basically, Becca and her are going to bond over. Becca's a newly married woman, and Yay. She totally gets it. So welcome to the Lady Gang, Jamie.
Hi, guys.
Welcome.
Hi.
First of all, we have to get right to the important stuff. Working with Jerry Seinfeld, tell us everything.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was actually like my first job in comedy. I was a writer's assistant on this show that was on NBC for like 5 minutes called The Marriage Ref.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah. Actually, I shouldn't say 5 minutes, but I only worked on the first season, so it felt very quick. But it was just me, and I was like in his office just as like a lowly assistant, and his office overlooked Central Park, and he had all this like memorabilia on the walls, and like it was just very intimidating. It was literally just him and like three other legendary comedy writers and me, who had been doing comedy for like 5 seconds.
How did you get that job?
Yeah, it was actually really crazy. I was working at Comedy Central, and I had just quit my day job there, and then John Mulaney was working, I believe, at SNL at the time, and he had heard I had quit my job and then like recommended me for this. And it was
how cool.
Really cool, but also like very intimidating, because I'm not like the fastest typer. And I think that 90% of that job is just being like very quick at note taking. And I felt a lot of pressure to be a stenographer, and I was not.
Did you happen to know that all those years later you would meet the Jack Vanek who watches Seinfeld every night before she goes to bed religiously?
Do you really?
I have to. If I don't, then my whole routine to go to bed is off and I can't fall asleep.
I love that.
I watch Seinfeld for 2 hours and then I turn on Curb on my iPad to fall asleep.
Oh, nice. That's so funny, because I feel like neither of those shows are relaxing at all. No. Like, they're both just like anxious Jewish people.
I know. It just Larry David's voice just like lulls me to sleep.
Can I tell you, I'm obsessed with Curb Your Enthusiasm, and the other night I was at this stand-up show.
Do not tell a story about how you had sex with Larry David. Because
oh my God,
that's our dream.
Okay, Well, I was at the show. That's not what happened. But I was at the show, and it was like a really small show. It was actually in the Hollywood Improv Lab, which is this tiny club, kind of like, it almost feels like a jazz club or something.
Okay.
But it's this like bar off of the main room of the Hollywood Improv. And I was on this show, and it was like really calm. Like, I was just in the back of the room, like looking at my phone, not thinking anything. And right before I went up, I looked to my right, and Larry David is sitting there with like his hot girlfriend, or whoever she is. I don't know.
What? He had, like, we hate this story. So
he had a hot piece with him.
I know, what?
I don't know who she was, but she was like on him, you know.
A protege?
I mean,
how old was she?
Yeah, I would say, I'm going to say 38.
Okay,
but like hot 38.
Hot 38, and he was just sitting there, and I was like, what is he doing here? Like, I just was shocked that anyone would be at the show. Like, I was barely there. Like, I was super checked out until this moment.
Yeah. And
then I went up, and I was definitely, like, hamming it up because I knew he was in the room. Like, I was doing my material.
You're like, let me work on Curb.
Yes. And also, I, like, shoehorned in, like, 4 Jewish jokes that I did not plan on telling, because I was like, okay, I think this will speak to him.
Yeah.
And then when I got off stage, he was there, like, still with his girlfriend. I was like, okay, well, he didn't walk out during my set. So, like, at
but
least
did
that.
You take a selfie with him?
I didn't.
You-
I was gonna like say something to him.
You should have been like,
say something to him.
How was I?
Well, I actually had a whole plan in my mind. I was like, I'm definitely gonna go up and talk to him after this next person set. So I was sitting in the back, kind of like being polite for the next person, and then he got up and left during set, and I was like, okay,
zing.
Well, at least that didn't happen.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why do you think there are so many Jewish comedians?
That's a great question. I think because we just have like a lot. I mean, I don't consider, well, do I consider myself a Jewish comedian? I don't know if I do. I just feel like I am Jewish, but I am a comedian also. I think it's just,
you're not identifying.
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because I think that there is like a circuit, like a Jewish
like
circuit.
And
I'm not
comedy.
Yeah. And I'm not in that crew. Like, I'm not like in the Catskills, like performing for, I'm not at like the Dirty Dancing
like,
summer
where
camp.
My parents go.
Yeah. Right. Right. I think it's just because we have like a lot of like neurotic energy and cynicism. So just like, that's just like built into
our nature. I also find that like in our culture, people are really good at laughing at tragedy.
Totally.
And that just trickles down to laughing at everything.
Totally.
Or like joking about everything.
I think that's, I think that's accurate for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that makes a good comedian for sure. Yeah.
Who's the biggest dink in comedy?
Dink or dick?
I love the word dink. Oh
no, it's my new word.
That's
dink.
Amazing.
Like, who's the best? Like, who's the person that you're like, oh my God, I met Oprah and she's amazing.
Wait, dink means best?
Yeah. No, but dink means bad.
Oh, okay.
Like, let's start
like
personally.
You're such a dink.
Who's the best? Who's like, is Amy Schumer cool? Is like, that Christelia, whatever his name is, like, is he cool? Or is he like a whore, like everyone says?
That's so funny.
Who's cool?
Who's cool? I don't know. I feel like everyone's kind of cool just because I feel like if you do stand up, you kind of have a bond with the other people who do stand up in this weird way where, like, even if you don't know each other that well, you still kind of connect over this thing.
Who's a dink? Is there any dinks?
I'm trying to think of a dink.
She's not going
to
throw someone under the bus right now.
I mean, I can't say names. I do have a fun dink story, actually.
Yes.
So I'm not going to name names, but I am in a writer's room right now. We were talking about this guy who, he's always been really about like branding, like his whole
personal brand.
A comedian?
Yes. Like,
oh,
he's,
I know who it is.
He'll like give out like bumper stickers and like, he's very into like schmoozing and networking in this way where he puts that, I feel like, before anything
his
else.
Comedy? He's going to write it and she's going to see if she...
No, interesting guess though. But
is he even a comedian anymore, Dane Cook?
She guessed Dane Cook. Yeah.
Well, okay. So this guy, we were talking about him in the writer's room that I'm in right now, and we're like, oh my God, he's like, he's just like, he just tries so hard and all this stuff. And then on my way over here, it was like, the gods were listening. I was about to pull. I stopped at a stop sign. I was about to go through. And then this guy on a bicycle, like, kind of, like, went in front of my car. And it was him. It was the dink. And I was like, oh, my God.
He's everywhere.
And he was, like, being a dink. Like, what are you doing?
Like, throwing out bumper stickers?
What, like the stop signs don't apply to you? Like, you have to stop.
Just
someone's going to hit your bike. Yeah. I was like, oh, man. I know.
I want to know who this is.
I need to know who it is.
I mean, I did make a bumper sticker for the Lady Gang, but whatever.
That's true.
Waited, handed out, and I was like really into my branding. But okay,
actually,
whatever.
I made that, but
I want to know what your favorite stand-up special is to watch.
Ooh, I know exactly what it would be.
What?
Well, the one that I'm currently obsessed with is "Aren't You Embarrassed" by Sebastian Maniscalco.
I haven't seen it.
Okay,
I'm writing it down.
Oh my God, he's like a dream. He is super animated and almost like, I would say he's almost like a parody of himself at this point.
Ooh.
Like, he knows why he's funny and he does a lot of act outs. Some of his jokes are super broad, to the point where you're like everyone's thought of this stuff, but there's something about, he's like this Italian guy from the Midwest.
Is
and he
hot?
Just, he is hot and he just like knows who he is.
Love a hot
and
comedian.
There's something about like,
what's his name?
His name's Sebastian Maniscalco, and he's actually been around for a long time. And I feel like just within the last 2 years, he's just kind of like exploded and he plays like huge theaters now. And yeah, he's,
you know,
great.
He's hot when I put in his, I start putting his name and the second one is Sebastian Maniscalco wife.
Oh.
You know what? Searching.
Yes.
Is he married? Can I
he's
make
married,
out with him after the show?
He's married to like this like cool artist.
Yeah,
like a visual artist.
Oh, I know who he is.
Let me see.
Okay, yeah.
Let me see the picture.
He's great.
Never seen him before.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a big fan.
I know who he is.
What is the hardest thing about life in Hollywood for you?
Ooh, probably I like struggle with boredom. I get bored really easily, and I feel like I'm sometimes too anxious to live in Los Angeles because it's very chill. And so I think that's my
hold
biggest
my hand,
thing.
Jamie. Okay, we'll talk about the same. It.
Really?
Should we make a list of things we need to
Sorry,
do today?
My hand's cold. What?
Should we make a list of things we need to accomplish?
I mean, fill up my schedule. I just need like
to do.
Hour to hour.
Nothing more than four
right
empty hours to watch Housewives.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like it.
I have like weird. Like,
we should rearrange the.
Are you an only child?
Cupboards. No.
Okay.
Are you?
I think some, yeah, I am, and I sometimes think that's why I get like lonely and bored. Really
but I feel
easily.
Like as an only child, you should like that's your normal. Like you
would think so, but instead I'm like I need to like schedule like time with people. Like,
I'm an only child, and I feel the same way. Kinda.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Because you don't want to like
day drink a lot.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
how
yourself.
You get through it.
Hell yeah. Just a little wine. I'm like, this is somebody. It's wine. My friend.
My friend wine.
Yeah.
What has been your ish moment? The moment where you thought, I am ish. I've made it. I'm not a dink. I'm ish.
Oh my God.
Not a dink anymore.
Not a dink. Am an it or am ish. God, I don't even know. I feel like anytime something good happens, I just am always like, but is it good? And then I like talk myself out of how I need to try
me
harder.
That's me too.
You guys are kindred sisters.
We're just Jewish.
Yeah.
You talk yourself out of the happiness.
I have like 2 seconds of like killing it, and then I'm back to just like, but am I killing it hard enough?
I love
so
that.
So it's like a constant.
When's your birthday?
March 15th.
Happy birthday almost.
Oh, thanks.
Not really almost.
Well, I mean, it's January. It's going to be March sooner.
It's coming up.
I just ripped that away from you.
You did. You're like, actually,
that's like, wow, thanks. Nope. Take that back away. The last thing before we play our game, I want to ask you, is comedy world like Bachelor where like it's incestuous and everyone's like hooking up with everyone else in the hot tub and stuff?
Yes, I think so. I mean, there's like 2 camps. There's the camp that's like, I will never hook up with a comedian. And then there's the camp that's like, so what? Like we work together. We like the same stuff. We're both into like things being funny. Why wouldn't we hook up?
If you date a comedian, is it like who can make a funnier joke? It feels like war.
Yeah. I think it can. Well, I married a comedian.
Oh,
not,
no.
Not a stand-up. Well, he does stand-up, but I think we both start. Like, I started in stand-up, and he started in sort of, like, the improv, like, UCB scene. So I feel like we have enough differences to where there's not, like, this feeling of, like, competition. But I have dated stand-ups, and it literally is a nightmare after a while.
When you have sex, do you ever get super passionate, or is it always ha-ha?
I have to tell my husband like you can't make jokes right now. Like we have to like shut each other down because otherwise it's like literally the least sexy thing ever.
So you're like talking and joking while you're having sex.
Yeah, he'll make jokes sometimes and I'm like I know the inclination because I have it too, but you have to fight it right now because like we have to
sexy
not
time.
Always be on. Like that's gross. It's gross if we're naked and making jokes. Like we have to stop.
That's amazing. That's
I recently really got a note on my
You did
really?
Not What is your note?
What was the note?
I've never gotten a note.
Sometimes I just like it, like silliness like leads to it.
Yeah, sure.
Like a tickle?
No, like really like ridiculous, like not funny at all, but like not serious enough. I recently got a note that it needs to be more serious. My approach.
Interesting.
Like a note from Zach?
Yeah.
How did he give it to you? On a paper? Like a report card? Like
no, because we were laying there.
Doggy style. A+.
No, we were laying
seriousness. B-.
We were laying there and I was
leg
like,
spread.
Take
C.
your pants off. Like almost like I'm just like, you know?
Yeah.
And he's like, could you do that in a more like, I don't know, serious,
not like
sensual.
You're totally joking.
I was like, take your pants off.
I mean, that's cute though.
Chris would be so happy if I initiated sex and said take your pants off. You'd be like bravo.
Well, and that's what I said. I was like, I'm initiating sex, you should not care how it's done.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, you could be pushing them off of you.
Yeah, it's true.
Exactly.
You could be
like a normal married
headache.
Couple.
I have a headache. I have a stomach ache.
I'm so nasty.
I'm on my period.
Anyway, on that note, we're gonna talk about Jamie's book, and we're going to play a fun quiz where you're going to learn a lot about us when we come back.
Great.
Okay, what's going on? Now, here's the Lady Gang.
And we are back. Okay, so let's talk about the book. It features you on the cover in a wedding dress looking insane. ridiculous.
It's like ridiculous.
I know exactly what it is. I can't say it. That's why I lose all the Emmys.
She can't pronounce it.
At least I said your name correctly.
You did.
If it's not on a teleprompter, she can't.
I need a pronouncer for everything. Like, I really am like, ridiculous. Okay, so talk to me about ridiculous and where it came from.
Well, basically, I got engaged, and I felt like all of the books that were, or all the magazines and sites that were available to new brides, they were all just like super serious. Like everything was just like the dress, the day, the appetizers. Like everything is just so blown out of proportion. And I was like, there's not one resource for new brides that's like somewhat funny and like serious and like talking about how like getting married is actually like really hard, and like sometimes your engagement isn't just like a gorgeous like fantasy for a year. It can be really hard with like merging families and power struggles and, you know, just like becoming a solidified couple. And I was like, there just needs to be a book that's like really funny and honest. And so I was like determined to be the one to write it. I was like, there is a hole in the bookshelves right now, and like I must fill it.
It's the perfect book to give your girlfriend when she gets engaged or like at her bridal shower, that she can like read either pre-wedding or she can like read on her honeymoon and be like, exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of that's kind of what I was going for. I mean, I definitely wrote the book, like I was actually writing it while I was getting married, so that was a big thing. I was like, I want to make sure I'm capturing all this as it's happening versus like sitting down later to reflect and then write it. So like all the emotions and thoughts in there are like very much from when I was going through it. I feel like I really like try to bottle that weird energy. But yeah, I wrote it like as a bride to brides. But then I also realized everyone's been to weddings. And if you have any thoughts about weddings, which most people have a ton of opinions on them, whether they're favorable or unfavorable.
So weird.
Like you need to be able to talk about them because they are ridiculous. Like they are literally ridiculous and no one's really addressing them. It's always just like, put on this tiara, like pretend.
It was so great.
But Jamie, are they ridiculous?
They are ridiculous.
Okay. I want to say, what is one thing you would tell girls? Like, we just had a whole bunch at Christmas of our Lady Gang girls get engaged. Like, what is one thing you would tell them that you learned now after the fact about wedding planning?
Let's see. One thing. Oh, if I had to pick one thing, probably that you, why is it so hard to answer one? I guess like, the biggest thing probably would be, well, two things. One is that everyone at your wedding, or maybe not everybody, but a lot of people at your wedding are like going to talk shit about you. Like it's just true.
Ding,
no matter what you do, no matter how perfect it is, no matter how much alcohol you have like flowing freely throughout the night, no matter how easy it is to get food, no matter how much food or how delicious the food, like people are going to find something they hate because there's just something cathartic about talking shit about weddings. And like, I think that if you can tell yourself that, you'll feel less pressure on yourself because there's just no amount of being detail oriented that is going to stop people from actually talking shit. Like it's literally impossible.
Becca, what did you learn? What's one thing?
I mean, that's very true. There were people bitching at my wedding, like to me about the wedding. So I have some high maintenance friends though. Oh my God. There's so many things. I mean, the other day I was talking to a girl who's getting married and I was like, the getting ready process, like everybody's like, make it perfect and make it like that, have these people around you and all have a moment and blah, blah. Like the reality of it is you're just getting ready.
Yes.
And like, don't make it so big, you know? Cause I was sitting there being like, is this right? Is this environment right? What am I feeling? And I'm like, I'm just getting, I mean, just hang out, be a normal human. Like, and if you need a moment, like I took a moment, like, you know, a minute before I walked down the aisle, and I, maybe some people need more, but that's like really all I needed. And I wish that I had just like relaxed and not been so worked up about like, who am I inviting to get ready with me? Mm-hmm. And like, it was just,
did you have a bunch of people around?
No, I just had like people stopping by and like, you know, my mom and my sister and like my sister's kids. And I think that like, it was almost like people told me to put too much focus when in reality, I just wish that I could have just relaxed and
you're
not been worrying.
Just like wearing some eyelashes.
Yeah, like I'm just here.
Right.
Because then it like puts you in this weird headspace that you're like, if this is not the perfect environment, if I'm not feeling like super great about this, the whole day is shot. Like
Yeah, there are a lot of moments throughout. I mean, it is just a normal day in a lot of ways. And I think like there's this pressure for every single moment of the day to be like the best it could ever be. And I think that like any day that is a good day, there's going to be like really fun moments, and there's going to be moments where you're like anxious or tired or bored or happy, or like it's just, it's going to ebb and flow because that's like the nature of being alive. And I think what you were saying is really true. Like you are supposed to create this environment around you while you're having makeup put on, but you have makeup put on you for like 3 hours and it's
forever.
Like, it's kind of tedious. And like, then there's supposed to be this big moment of like getting into your dress. And I was like, I've tried on my dress like 4 times prior to this. Getting into it a 5th time is not, it doesn't feel as special as everyone builds it up to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like, you and your dress are well acquainted at this point.
You hope so.
Jack, yeah. Are you taking notes?
Yes.
Are you engaged?
No.
Okay.
But you know.
Soon.
Soon. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's play a game.
Okay.
I'm so glad I can pronounce this properly. Okay, this is called Wedding Bliss.
Okay.
Or Wediculous.
Okay.
So if it's Wedding Bliss, if we vote yes.
Okay.
And it's Wediculous if we hate this idea.
Okay.
Is everyone ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Number one, princess dress.
Wedding Bliss if it's an indoor ballroom winter wedding.
Very specific.
Because if it's outdoors and you have like a foofy tent on, it just doesn't go with like chill vineyard.
Wedding Bliss if it's Vera Wang.
Wedding Bliss if you're Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City 5.
Just watched that last night. Oh, not 5.
Or whatever, 2.
15.
But every other time, Wediculous. And I really wish people would like not do the pucker satin. Don't do it. It's not good on anyone.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that. I will say... Yeah, Wedding Bliss if it's like a winter appropriate wedding.
Right.
It's, yeah, not for me. So,
okay. A tiara. Oh.
Wediculous. Absolutely unacceptable. Deeply.
Unless you're like 15.
100%.
Unless it's your quinceanera.
Your what?
Quinceanera.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Your quinceanera.
A quinceanera.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. I think that's the wedding when you're having a quinceanera.
Wedding Bliss or Wediculous?
Wediculous. Horrid.
Wediculous. Like, no.
Like, no. I also say Wediculous. Unless it's like your birthday.
I mean, a tiara is what princess is still in 2017. Like, what royalty actually still wears to represent being royal. Like, you are not.
Right. You're not.
Unless you're going to be the
it's
queen.
It's not a fun accessory.
It's only acceptable if it cost $1 and came from Party City and it's your bachelorette.
Like, exactly.
It's not acceptable.
100%. Okay.
Giving out a favor. Wedding Bliss or Wediculous?
It's just kind of whatever.
No, that's actually what you don't know about me, Jamie, is that I love rules.
Okay, I'm going to say Wedding Bliss because I think it's nice to just like treat your guests as much as you can and give them as much stuff to take home because they traveled really far for you. Usually. Yeah. Sometimes they don't. Depends on the wedding. But
Becca?
They spent money to be there.
I mean, I did it, but I did still
when you did, what was your favor?
She gave a little...
Soul Society first stoles and like
that
all that
beautiful.
Stuff.
Wait, what? I thought that was a welcome box.
What did you give?
Isn't that the same
first
thing?
No, a welcome box is different.
PETA friendly.
Yeah. It was a welcome box.
Still. Oh my God.
A favor is like when you
amazing.
Get almonds at the
yeah,
end of
I literally
night.
Gave out nuts.
Yeah.
Wait,
she's
what?
Like, I gave out stoles.
Oh, I mean, was a welcome box.
Okay.
You do a favor.
A favor? I mean, at the end of the night, like we brought out like the chicken fingers and fries and
that's food
on skewers, but that's
you
not
didn't
food.
Take it with you wait, and like pack it presents? In your suitcase home.
Oh,
people
wait.
Brought it back with them what to their rooms.
Give
to
me
eat.
An example of a gift.
A favor is like when it has like a little like Scott and Jack, and it's like a little white box, and you open it up and it has some like pink almonds.
Okay,
or like a tiny candle.
Right. I mean, now that you're putting it into perspective, it definitely is Wediculous, but I do think that I did give out like candy coated pecans because my one of my bridesmaids, it's like her specialty. She makes them for like every event.
That's okay.
And I was like, okay, if you know how to do this and you're like volunteering, I'm going to let you.
Yeah.
But why do you have to do a welcome gift and a favor?
I feel like the favor is just bullshit.
I feel like you do one or the other.
Yeah. Right.
Right?
I just hate having junk. So anything I'm going to throw away,
I hate junk
I just,
too.
That'll we be don't ridiculous. Like junk.
Okay, sex on your wedding night.
Oh, Wediculous. I find it, I think it's, I talk about it in the book. I'm very like opinionated. I mean, I did it, but I think the pressure to do it is crazy. Like, I think that like you're going to have sex with this person for the rest of your life. And also like you're tired after your wedding. So like if it happens, cool. But if you don't have the energy, don't beat yourself up.
I don't want to brag. But I also think ridiculous.
Okay.
But I think because I went into it being like, we're not making this a thing. Like, if we're tired, if we're drunk, if we're whatever, like, it's not happening.
Yeah.
I had the best wedding night sex.
Oh, no, you did not.
I love that.
I did. But I think it's because
you didn't have
we
pressure.
Were like, whatever.
Yeah.
And that feels better than like, gotta go put my lingerie on. Like, oh, I had a, I don't even know what I was wearing under my dress. Like, ugly commando, like nude underwear, like my grandmother.
A nice spank.
Yeah. And like, we did it.
Good.
Mm-hmm. But so you it was wedding the pressure. Bliss.
Yeah, that's you
good.
Relieved the pressure.
Jack?
Yeah.
Well, you have sex
she's
in like
have sex
the bathroom
at her wedding in
yeah.
public.
Yeah,
like
have
you'll have sex behind
day.
The cake.
Yeah.
Gross.
So wedding bliss.
Okay.
Wedding bliss.
I said ridiculous and I did not have sex on my wedding night. Shocker. But I did have sex the next day.
That's good.
It was like
good.
We were so tired. We had an early flight for a honeymoon. So it was like we got home at 2 a.m. We got up at 6 to go on our flight. We flew all day. And then we got to the Cayman Islands and it was like pow, pow.
Oh, well, that's good.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also had like 700 people in my house. Okay. Matching bridesmaids dresses.
Wedding bliss because it makes it easy for the bride. I just want to be clear. I was in camp. Everyone wear what they want. But ultimately, I ended up picking the same thing for everybody because I think it just got even more complicated when I was like, let's pick a color. And then everyone chooses their dress within that. And I think it just made it harder. So
I was at a wedding when people did that. And it was like supposed to be like champagne sure. and blue. And then one girl had like a hot pink dress. And I was
oh,
like,
no.
I don't know if they got the right yeah. memo. Like your color choice was weird.
It looks pretty. But I think it if you need to relieve stress, I think it's easy to just kind of pick something that everyone likes and then just have them buy it.
But yeah. I'm also going to say ridiculous because I hate bridesmaids.
Okay.
Hate being one, hate having them. The end.
Ditto.
We use a site called Azazi, and they have every color under the sun and every cut under the sun. And we did like an empire, like tight on top, but then like flowing. And it really did look nice on everybody. I am well aware that everyone could like throw their dresses away the next day.
Yeah.
For sure. They're never going to wear them again. Literally never.
I hate that when they're like, and it's so cute. You can wear it again.
No, it can.
Like, no. You can get it hemmed and make it short and wear it to a cocktail party. Like, no.
No. No.
I will not be doing that. Thank you so much.
You can literally bury it in a grave and no one will know.
But why do you feel so guilty getting rid of them? Every time I get rid of them, I'm like, it feels bad. Like, I feel like my friends are like, you know.
They're watching you.
What lasts longer? It take you longer to the wedding? Like, did they stay together long enough for you to, or do you throw it out after they break up?
All the dresses I have, they're still together.
Okay.
Oh, same.
First look, seeing each other before you walk down the aisle.
I I'm going to say it's ridiculous, but I did do it, so.
You're
like, I hate everything, but I did it.
Yeah.
Because I understand, I can argue each way. And I feel like the first look is great for pictures. And the main thing is, if you are taking some pictures beforehand, you miss less of the wedding.
Yeah.
So I think that's the trade-off. I think it's really thrilling to like see each other for the first time walking down the aisle, but then do realize that like that time that you weren't spending taking photos is going to go like cut later. Into the party time.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I say ridiculous. I like put up a real fight to not have to do it.
I really did not want to do
what
it.
Is, yeah. What's I know the point of doing it?
Because like, remember so the cocktail hour at my wedding that went on for like a year?
Mm-hmm.
It's because we were taking photos.
Mm-hmm.
And if we saw each other before the wedding, then you go straight from the ceremony to like drinks to dinner. Like you don't stop the flow.
Yeah.
And I really... Yeah, I mean, I understand that, mm-hmm. but, like, the only thing I was looking forward to for my wedding was, like, seeing each other for the first time walking down the aisle. Like, I could have done that and then had no wedding after that, which I wish I had. So that for me was, like, a big one, but I understand why people don't do it.
Okay, very last one, and this is going to be very Jack Vanek of us. Wearing red to a wedding.
Okay. By the way, I asked Becca like 15 times if I could wear red.
She did.
Hold on. Let's just... Can we get with the rules, please?
Wait. Wearing red to
as
a
guest.
So they say that you're not allowed to wear white, red, or black to a wedding.
Red? Who says that? Because I feel like you're the only person that's ever said that.
The internet said it.
No, I've seen it.
Ridiculous?
Just white.
Or wedding bliss?
Wearing red... Wedding bliss. Unless you know that the bride, I guess, is wearing red because in some cultures that's common.
Yeah.
Maybe then.
Maybe
but
that's why the rule.
Yeah, I think that's the only time. But if you know they're wearing
your facts,
Becca? You know they're wearing white. I think it's totally acceptable to wear any color other than white.
Everyone knows red is the slutty color.
Everyone knows that the girl in the red dress is slutty.
Everyone knows.
No, actually, I'm going to justify this because I had two friends wear red dresses to my wedding, including Jack. It was a winter wedding, and they were in gowns. Yeah. I think when I think of, like, the girl in the red dress, it's like a summer wedding in, like, a bodycon, like, tight.
Yeah. Oh, you know what I mean? Interesting. I never heard that. My brother-in-law's girlfriend wore, like, what you just said, a bodycon red dress. And I never noticed it. But, yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah,
what a whore.
It sends the wrong message.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. I would never
think about it. A bodycon short dress to any wedding just sounds a little
or anywhere.
Except if you're on the Insider, Everyday Reporting Entertainment
News. Oh, my God.
They love it when I wear a bodycon short dress in the middle of winter. Hey, hopefully there. It's strapless with a stiletto with a platform.
Gross.
When we come back, we are going to have Jamie stick around and answer some of our Ask the Lady Gang questions.
Hey, ladies! Get funky.
Ask the Lady Gang.
And we are back.
Handing me the torch, Kelty.
Yes, I am.
Before we start, Ask the Lady Gang, if you guys want 20% off, Jack Vanek. Whoa.
I can't
pronounce anything today either. JackVanek.com. Use code LADYGANG and get your sass on.
Yeah, yo.
Okay, so for this part of the podcast, you're going to help us give some advice to our listeners.
Okay.
And by advice, we mean it can be bad.
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Our advice is 20% good, maybe, and like 80% horrible.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I can get on board.
Okay, so our first question comes from Nicole. And she says, my husband and I have been married for a little over a year. I'm 27 and he's 29. We're both strong, educated, and have success in our careers, but it bothers me that he makes more money than I do. I can't always splurge on those Louboutins, and this is where he usually pipes in and says, I got it, babe. Half of me is like, damn, I want those shoes, and the other half is like, I want to buy those shoes for myself. So, ladies, should I or should I not take the shoes from my husband?
Take the shoes.
God.
Girl,
take them shoes. Wait, what?
I'll take the shoes.
Girl,
send the shoes to us.
I literally thought she was going to say, like, and he makes more money and he won't let me have them.
Yeah.
Then I'd be like, ooh, but he sounds like a pretty chill guy.
He's trying to provide you with your frivolous buying.
Throw away your sign from the march, because I know you went.
Oh my God, I love you.
And get yourself in those Louboutins and don't feel badly.
Wait, but real quick, Louboutins are, I have a pair and they're
uncomfortable.
Insanely
so
uncomfortable.
They're very
get
uncomfortable.
Jimmy Choo's, don't
That's true.
Buy Louboutins.
Yes.
They scuff immediately one wear, they won't be red on the bottom. They're a scam. Lubu scam.
They're a scam.
But like, I just... Nicole, I mean, gratitude... the attitude should be gratitude, okay?
Right.
Like, I have some friends who work their asses off, and their husbands do too, and the husbands actually make less money, and the girls are like, why can't I just be with a man who makes more money than me? Like,
I know, you should be thinking you're lucky.
This
stars,
is the dream.
Yeah, he sounds good.
Allie
Trademark.
Wong.
Yeah.
Her stand-up, she's pregnant, and she's like, guys, whoever messed it up for women and you want equal rights, like, I don't want a job. I don't want to have to get a job.
Yeah.
Like, it's the
She's
best.
Like, I don't want to work no more.
I'm done.
That's her whole thing.
Hell yeah.
It's amazing.
It's
incredible.
So good.
I have to listen.
You have to watch that special.
She's
it's great.
So funny.
Okay, our next question comes from Anonymous.
Ooh.
Love a good anonymous
drama.
Question. She says, my boyfriend recently asked if after we're married, if we will add each other's fingerprint to our phones so that you can get in from the lock screen. He said that he thinks it's weird for married couples to have locks on their phones. I don't have anything to hide from him, and I don't care if he uses my phone, but this made me feel uncomfortable. Knowing that he would even feel the need to snoop through my things makes me feel like he doesn't trust me. What are your thoughts? Am I overreacting?
Also, what does it have to do with being married? It's not like you, like, get married and you, like, exchange rings and fingerprints. Like, if you're in
now
a relationship... Yeah, it's like, if you're in a relationship, like, and he wants to just talk about, like, I don't know. First of all, why does he care? I don't know. This whole thing's weird.
It's weird.
It's weird.
I do know the code to my husband's phone, and
Me
I could
too.
Get in there if I wanted to, and I have.
To snoop?
Well, when we first started dating, I had some real deep-seated, like, cheater issues. So yeah. I used to go through his BlackBerry all the time. Now he has an iPhone. It's a little different. One time when I got my new iPhone, they upgraded from the four-number passcode to the 6. Do you remember when that happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to add 2 extra numbers. And then Chris tried to get into my phone, and he couldn't. He's like, what's happening? And he was upset. So I feel like he probably does snoop. The only thing he's going to see is, like, you know, I am very famous now. And so on my Facebook page, quite often, there are, like, messages from, like, people I may have dated in high school being, like, so proud of you, Kelts. You're so beautiful. And then we have, like, a little chat. Like, that's about it.
Why are
so,
you? Okay. That's it. A whole different story.
That's all. So I think you can have each other's code.
Scott and I have each other's fingerprints on our phones.
No, you don't. Of course you do.
Do you also share a toothbrush, sicko?
Ew, no.
You're the grossest.
Do you wash your mouth out with mouthwash and then spit it into his mouth so he can use it?
Do you guys share toilet paper? Do you guys share razors?
Do you nibble up your food and then put it in his mouth like a mama bird?
I hate you guys.
Fingerprints, like, that's insane
to me. I think it's a little much, right?
Yeah, I think it's a little
much. Just get the code.
I think code is different.
It's easier to put the fingerprint on it.
It's not your phone.
But I also don't think it's a big deal because I would never snoop through his phone, and I know he would never snoop through my phone.
Or would he?
But that's the thing. I'm like, I wouldn't even think to ask for the fingerprint on my husband's phone because I'm like, we don't really. Well, I mean, we go in each other's phones, but our passcode is. I mean, I don't care. It's always all 5s. Like, that's for both of us. So I'm just like, it's all 5.
Make sure you steal Jamie's purse at the next gig.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to see. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that if you, like, make it an issue, it's
if you make
weird.
It an issue,
yeah.
That's when it becomes
now,
weird.
My question for you, Anonymous, is, are you a shady mofo who doesn't give him your code?
Yeah.
Or won't let him, like, when he's like, let me see that.
Why is this even a conversation?
Yeah. Are you shady?
Because are you shady, Anonymous?
There might be something there.
Yeah.
You know, like, you need to be, might need to be a little more open with your phone, like, willy-nilly, like, hand him your phone while you're driving and be like, hey, will you text that person back? My code's 5555.
Order us a pizza on my Domino's app.
Yeah. Like, if you're a weirdo who, like, won't let him even, like, touch your phone or you're scared of him holding it because that other side piece is going to text you while he's holding it.
Mm. P.P.S. How embarrassing it is when your significant other does go through your phone and you're like, oh, find that picture of, like, our dog or whatever. It's in my camera roll. And then they see the, like, no, and then they see the 500 selfies you took to get your good selfie. That is the worst. Because, like, sometimes I'm, like, just checking myself out, and I'm like,
I've done that.
You're
because I did that through my mom's phone once, and I was like, it's so embarrassing that my mom is, like, taking selfie. Anyway, okay. Next question.
That is embarrassing.
That's happened to me. For sure. Okay, our last question comes from Juliet. Juliet says, Kelty mentioned on a recent episode that she was re-falling in love with her husband.
So famous.
What?
Oh my God. I was hoping she could share some tips on that. I still love my husband and want to be in my marriage. Don't get me wrong, but would love to have that can't wait to rush home and see you feeling again.
Let's not get kid ourselves. You're not going to get the can't wait to get home.
I want to firstly say, I said I was falling in love with my husband again. I did not say I was like, I can't wait to rush home. I think what happened is that, like you were talking about your book, everyone expects, like, you meet, you fall in love, and, like, the first 3 months of falling in love, which we've talked about, are, like, the cocaine months, where you're like, everything is amazing, you're so perfect. And then real life kicks in, and you're like, wait, am I going to clean up your socks the rest of my life? And Chris and I had this, like, kind of gnarly time right before our wedding where I was like, I don't know if you're the person for me. Like, we had, like, a real meltdown. And then we got married, and then I spent the whole first year of our marriage being like, am I good at this? Am I going to succeed at this? Like, am I okay? Are we doing marriage right? Like, am I a good wife? And then I got busy at work, and, like, only in year now 4 have I been able to, like, sit back and be like, wow, we have a good relationship. You're an incredible man. I'm so lucky. Like, I have this, there's the fear is gone, and you kind of, like, can almost give yourself more to the person than we could in our first year marriage or, like, when we were dating. So that's really it. I also, like, might be taking, like, a small dose of Prozac. So, like, that also has changed, and, like, that might have something to do with it. Yeah, good night.
I think it might be, like, an analogy to the whole, like, having sex on your wedding night. When there's so much pressure in the beginning of a marriage, you're just trying so hard to have it be successful and to not fail. that you're kind of missing out just on your genuine connection together.
And everyone's like, you're newlyweds. You're newlyweds.
Must be
this
so
is the
happy.
Honeymoon period.
And you're probably like, fighting like normal. And
yeah. And like, I was in a similar situation, like the months leading up to our wedding, I was like, this is so like, this is not fun. Like we were not at our best. Neither of us were. And like, I think the first year of marriage can just kind of be like finding your footing. And I think the outside expects it to be like, it's so blissful, isn't it? And you're like, is it? I don't know. Is this normal? Like there's a lot of standards you feel put on you that you're like, am I upholding these?
Yeah.
Do you know how I re-fall in love with my husband?
You say, take your pants off.
That. And not re-fall in love. I mean, we've been married 2 months. I like haven't fallen out of love yet, so don't worry. But like when I need to like, not even need, but like not on purpose, but it does make me feel better when I see other girls' shitty boyfriends or shitty husbands.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's right. I got a good one. Mm-hmm. Like when you see or your single friend
yes.
who's just like desperately searching and just like so sad and lonely. And I'm like,
got him.
And he doesn't suck. You know, like because some of those guys suck. So sometimes I'll like scroll through Instagram and like look at like sometimes I'll look at how douchey some girls' boyfriends are. You know, like
that's super fun.
I'm like, at least my husband's not trying to sell things on Instagram. You know, like could
tummy
be worse.
Tea.
Could be worse.
Okay. Well, on that note, we loved having you. You're
oh,
a very
so
funny
fun.
Lady. Where can people find all your ha-has?
Oh, yes. I'm at TheJamieLee on Twitter and at ReallyJamieLee on Instagram. And
what if they want to come see you do some cons?
Yes. You can go to – so my website right now, it's wediculousbook.com, and that also feeds into my regular right. tour dates and everything. So, yeah, it's WEDDICULOUSbook.com.
And it's a hilarious book. And we have very good news. We're going to be giving away a copy of Jamie's book on our Instagram, so make sure you're following us at The Lady Gang. Make sure you're following us at The Lady Gang on Instagram. Follow us personally as well. It's Becca Tobin, at Jack Vanek, at Kelty Knight. Make sure you go pick up Jamie's book. It really is hilarious, and it's a perfect gift to give like your bestie when she's getting married. She will appreciate you so much. Guys, go to theladygang.com, read our blog, subscribe to our newsletter, send us submissions, write us Ask the Lady Gang questions, and we love you so much. And also, see you next Tuesday. Yay!
Join the Lady Gang every Tuesday at iTunes and at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com. Thanks for listening.
Now, you know I can't keep a secret or a deal to myself, which is why I'm telling you the best place to find spring savings. Ross. Yes, the Ross. They have the looks you'll love this spring for less. Ross has the best finds and the latest brands at 20 to 60% off what you pay at department stores. So, trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite tops. They've got deals on dresses for days. I mean, every style for spring. And don't forget the sandals. You know Ross has those on the low. Deals on handbags? Yep. Hold my purse. Get outside this spring with savings on outdoor tableware. And let's not forget about the guys. There are plenty of great deals on men's shirts and more. Seriously, just visit your nearest Ross and see for yourself because you deserve to look like $1 million without spending it. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at Ross.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.